Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Pei Vav. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, and this is the last daf of the seventh parak of Maseches Pesachim. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Church Avenue Minyan Lila Nishmas, our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh ben Chaim Tovia, Levi Alav Shalom, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak ben Yisrael, Yaakov Alav Shalom, and for Shlema, Tefega Peril Bastava Rivka. It's also sponsored anonymously, Lila Nishmas, Sarah Freda Basavram Aryeh, Allah Shalom, the second yard site is Gimel Adar. It's also sponsored by Avishai Newman, Lila Nishmas, his father, Chaim Naftali ben Yaakov Shlomo, whose yard site was Chaf Tes Shvat. Also sponsored anonymously for Shlema, for Daniel Yagain ben Karen Aliza. It's also sponsored by Seymour Gertz in memory of his mother, Margalit Bas Rav Shilom Alea Shalom, whose yard site is Zayin Adar. It's also sponsored by Matthew Ostreicher in memory of his father, Menachem Avram ben Moshe ben Yamin Alea Shalom, who passed away last week. It's also sponsored by the Pesachim Boys, a chavrus of three Talmidim from BMT who continue their decades-long quest to complete and conquer Maseches Pesachim. We're almost there. So we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. And again, we are holding on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis at the bottom of the page at the two dots. And what we're going to talk about today is we're going to continue to talk about the way that the Korban Pesach would be eaten. Specifically, Rav is going to talk about the Gagin, the rooftops of Yerushalayim, and the rooftops of the Azara, and whether they have Kedusha, the same Kedusha as street level, or once you're on a rooftop, it's an entirely different level of Kedusha. So Rav is going to suggest that rooftops of Yerushalayim and the Azara do not have the same Kedusha as street level. The Gemara is going to challenge Rav from four different places. And then we're going to explain the Mishnah in light of Rav's Chiddush. The next Mishnah is going to discuss eating the Korban Pesach in one location and how a waiter should behave if he's serving a group that he doesn't belong to, because he has to be careful. He has to eat the Korban Pesach only in one location, so he cannot partake if he's serving other people. So how should he behave as a reminder not to partake of the Korban Pesach that they happen to be eating? And the Gemara is going to point out that there's a machlokas tanoim about the exact parameters of the iser to split up, that there's some sort of iser to split up the eating of the Korban Pesach. So it's a machlokas tanoim what that iser is, and we're going to have a couple of nafkaminas between the two shitos in tanoim. And then, in the context of explaining a line in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that a kala should turn her face away when she eats the Korban Pesach, so the Gemara is going to tell us a lot of details about meal etiquette based on what we learn, using the kala as the starting point for that discussion of etiquette during meals. So let's begin again. Hachalonos va'ovei achoma at the two dots, three lines from the bottom of the page. Hachalonos va'ovei achoma. So we said that the windows and the thickness of the wall is kilifnim. That's like the inside. So once we're talking about that, Omarav, Gagan va'alios lo niskachu. Rav says that the rooftops and the second stories that are not on the ground floor do not have the same kedusha as the ground level has. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat kachim kalim on the alios or the gagos of Yerushalayim. And the gagos and the alios of the Azara don't have Kedusha Azara, and therefore you're not allowed to eat Kache Kachim by the Gagos and the Aliyos of the Azara. That's how Rashi explains that it's Dafka by that what are you not allowed to eat in the Gagos and the Aliyos of the Azara? Kache Kachim. The implication of Rashi is while you're not allowed to eat Kache Kachim there, you are allowed to eat Kache Kalim there, because it at least has the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, meaning the Gagos and the Aliyos of Yerushalayim don't even have Kedusha Yerushalayim. But the Gagos and Aliyos of the Azara, they may not have Kedusha Azara, but they at least have Kedusha Yerushalayim, so you can eat Kachim Kalim. That's what Rashi implies. Tosos in Maseches Shavuos and Daf Yizayin on Beis says no. The Gagos and Aliyos of the Azara have the same status as the Gagos and Aliyos of Yerushalayim. They don't even have Kedushas Yerushalayim, and therefore you're not even allowed to eat Kachim Kalim there. But bottom line is what Rav certainly is telling us is that Gagos and Aliyos do not have the same Kedusha as the ground floor. So the Gemara challenges Rav. Again, we're going to have four or five different challenges to Rav. So number one, Eini, is that really so? That there's no kedusha to the Gagan and Aliyos of Yerushalayim, Ba'amar Rav Misham Rabbi Chiya. But didn't Rav himself tell us in the name of Rabbi Chiya that the experience on the night of the Seder was that kezaisa pischava lelapaki igra, that people would eat a kezais of the basar of the Korban Pesach, because that's the mitzvah, and then the halal, the sounds of the halal would shatter the rooftops, meaning there was a very lebedic kind of kriyasa halal that you would hear, and it felt like the roofs of Yerushalayim were shaking from the halal that was being said by all the different siddurim. You see, you hear a very clear makar that it should be lebedik when you're saying halal. Hillel at the Seder, not only because we're a few cups of wine in, but it should be Levitic in general that when we sing the Hallel on the night of the Seder. That was always the minhag. The Marsha, however, has a different an additional level of interpretation. He says Halela Paka Igra means that it's Bokeya Shari Shemayim, that it breaks through the Shari Shemayim, because sometimes the Achilas Karban Pesach is not always done L'Shem Mitzvah, and if the Achilas Karban Pesach is not done L'Shem Mitzvah, it doesn't have that same power. The Gemara Maseches Arios tells us, in Mashal L'Shnei B'nei Adam, you have two people that both eat a Karban Pesach, but Echad Ochel L'Shem Mitzvah V'Echad Ochel L'Shem Achila Gasa. One person eats it L'Shem Mitzvah, and that's wonderful. The other person eats it L'Shem Achila Gasa. So the one that eats it L'Shem Mitzvah, we say Tzadikim Yeluchubam. The one that eats it L'Shem Achila Gasa, we say Poshim Yukashlubam. So the Gemara asks, Poshim? I mean, he's doing a mitzvah. He didn't do a mitzvah in a Mavchar, but still, it's clearly not so great if he's eating the Karban Pesach L'Shem Achila Gasa. But there's no ulterior motive in Halal. Halal is Halal. So that's Paka Igra, says the Marsha. That's always going to break through the Shari Shemayim if a person says a proper Halal on the Seder night. So anyway, but my love, the Achli Bigra, the Army Bigra, what does it mean that they were that it would break the rooftops? Doesn't this mean that they ate their Kazayis of Karban Pesach on the rooftop and then they said Halal there? Isn't that the implication? But I, Rav, you said that you're not allowed to eat the Basar of Kachim Kalim on the rooftops because the rooftops don't have the same Kedusha. So says Marlo, they ate the Karban Pesach on the ground floor, and then they went upstairs and sang Halal and gave another group the opportunity to eat on the ground floor. So says Marlo, but is that really so that you're allowed to eat in one place and sing Halal somewhere else and then go somewhere else to go to the top floor? Vatanan, didn't the Mishnah tell us toward the end of the Masechta that in Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen that you're not allowed to separate after the Suda, after you finish eating the Karban Pesach? So we normally assume that you're not allowed to eat something else after eating the Karban Pesach. Rav tells us, Shal Yakru Mechabur Lechabur, that it means you're not allowed to move from one place to another. That once you've eaten the Karban Pesach, you have to stay in that location for the remainder of the Seder. So it says Mar Lokasha, Kan B'Shas Achila, Kan Shalom B'Shas Achila. No, you have to remain in that same location so long as it's still the time of Achila, because there's still a chance you're going to eat, so you have to stay there. But once the Shas Achila is over and it's already time for Kriyas HaHalal, what marks the end of the Shas Achila? When you eat the Karban Pesach, because you're not allowed to eat anything else after the Karban Pesach. So once you eat the Karban Pesach, so that's it, Shas Achila is over, then you can go to the rooftop and you can say Halal. So that's why it's not a challenge to Rav, just because Paka Igra doesn't mean that they were Ochel B'Igra. They said Halal B'Igra, they said Halal on the rooftops, but the rooftops say Nechinami do not have that same Kedusha. So challenge number two to Rav, Tashema, we'll bring another Raya. The Brisa tells us that Rabbi Shaul Omer Aliyas Beis Kodesh Hakadoshim Chamura Mi Beis Kodesh Hakadoshim, that the second floor of the Kodesh Hakadoshim has greater kedusha than the ground level of the Kodesh Hakadoshim. She Beis Kodesh Hakadoshim Kohen Gadol Nichnas L'Pam Achas B'Shana, because after all, when it comes to the ground level of the Kodesh Hakadoshim, the Kohen Gadol gets to go there every single year, one day a year on Yom Kippurim, he gets to go into the Kodesh Hakadoshim. But how often does anyone go into the Aliyah of the Kodesh Hakadoshim, Aliyas Beis Kodesh Hakadoshim? It's once every Shemitah cycle. Maybe twice a Shemitah cycle. Some say that it's only once in a Yovel that they go into the Aliyos Kodesh HaKadoshim. And even then, it's just to be able to see if it needs any sort of repairs. But you see clearly the Aliyos based Kodesh HaKadoshim is a greater level of Kedusha. How can Rav therefore say that Gagin and Aliyos are lonis Kachu? Rav says that they don't have Kedusha at all. Over here, you see it's a greater level of Kedusha, at least as far as the base Kodesh HaKadoshim is concerned. The Marsha explains, why is it more holy than the ground level? He says, because of the Shechina, the nature of the Shechina is that the Shechina is Yoredes Milamailu Lamata. That's what the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah, that Ein Shechina Yoredes Lamata Me'asara Tvachim, that the Shechina never goes down, but doesn't dip below 10 Tvachim. The implication is that the Shechina starts high and will go down up until the point of 10 Tvachim. So we assume that that's the intensity of the Shechina is greater and a higher level. So isn't that a kasha on Rav? So answers Gemara, no. I'm Rav Yosef. Mehechel nekum mneisav inish. You're going to bring a raya on kasha on Rav based on what the aliyos of the Hechel. The aliyos of the Hechel are different than the aliyos of the Azara and the aliyos of Yerushalayim. Why? Shiny Hechel duksiv. The pasuk says in Divrei Yom about the Hechel. Vayitin David l'shlomo b'no estavnis ulam ve'esbatav and v'gan zabav v'aliyosav v'chad Hadarav HaPnimim U'Beis HaKaporas. That David HaMelech taught Shlomo exactly the measurements, how he's supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash, and to build Aliyos on top of the Heichal. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, HaKol B'Ksav V'Yad Hashem Alei Haskil, that all of these plans were drawn exactly based on the Tzivoy of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted these plans Dafka in this way. And therefore, these Aliyos on top of the Heichal, they have Kedusha, because that was part of the plans that HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew. But other Aliyos in the Azara, Aliyos in Yerushalayim, that's not HaKol B'Ksav V'Yad Hashem Alei Haskil, so that's not going to be included in that that level of Kedusha. It's interesting, the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah also talks about that pasuk of HaKol B'Ksav V'Yad Hashem Alei Haskil, when the Gemara says, the Mishnah at the end of Maseches Sukkah said that they made a tikkun gadol by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the Gemara said, what kind of tikkun gadol did they make? So they realized that having the men and the women on the same floor was causing trouble. It would lead to socializing, it would lead to mixing, so or whatever it would lead to. That's actually Machlokas Rav Meisha and the Satmar Rebbe, whether it would lead to socializing or lead to mixing. Nafkamina is what the purpose of a mechitza is. Is the purpose of a mechitza to stop people from mixing? Is the purpose of a mechitza to stop people from socializing, from being able to, or from seeing each other? So anyway, that's a glass mechitza. But anyway, so the Gemara says that they built a balcony for the women. So the Gemara says, how could you build a balcony for the women? Everything is supposed to be exactly according to plan. You're not supposed to be able to build new things, to make some changes. They said, no, they found from the pasuk, they saw an indication in the pasuk that there's supposed to be such a separation, and they were just mechavein to that idea. So that's all part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's plans. But anyway, so the second challenge to Rav is now answered. So now the third challenge to Rav. Tashema will bring a raya from a Mishnah, Maseches Ma'aser Sheni. Halashachos Abnuyos Bekodesh. If you have the rooms that are built in the area of the Azara, but a Psuchos Lechol, the doorway, the opening of these rooms goes out into the Harabayis. It doesn't open up into the Azara. So even though the location of the room is in the square that you would call the Azara, but it's the door, the only entrance and exit is to the Harabayis, not to the Azara. So what's the status of these rooms themselves? So Tochan Chol, V'Gagosein Kodesh. The inside of these rooms is Chol, because it only opens up into Harabayis, so it only has Kedushas Harabayis. When we say Chol, we mean Kedushas Harabayis. But the rooftops have its status of Kedusha, because they open up into the Azara, so they have the status of Kedusha of the Azara. But don't you see that the rooftops have more Kedusha than the ground floor? So Tigam Rav Chista, Chicago say, and Shavin the Karka Azara. Now that's only talking about if the rooftops are on the same level as the ground level of the Azara. But if you're going to tighten it up like that, how do you read the next line of the Mishnah where it says, Benuyos Pachol, if they're built in the space of the Harabayis, Upsuchos Lakodesh, but they open up into the Azara, then Tochan Kodesh, then the inside of the room is actually Kodesh, because it opens into the Azara, V'gagoseim Chol, and the rooftops are Chol, but V'isal Gadash V'gagoseim Shav L'karka Azara, Havila Mechilos, but if you hold that the rooftops are even with the floor of the Azara, then these rooms are Mechilos, they're like tunnels underground. V'am Rab Yochanan Mechilos Lo Nishkachu, and Mechilos are not supposed to have Kedushas Azara. So why would they have Kedushas Azara? So says Mar Kikam Rab Yochanan B'Psuch Sar Bais, Kitani B'Psuch Sar Azara. Now Mechilos sometimes have Kedushas Azara if they open up into the Azara, and they sometimes only have Kedushas Harabayis if they open up into the Harabayis. V'atanya, and the Gemara says, well, wait a second, Rabbi Omer Mechilos mitachas heichol chol, that the Mechilos underneath the heichol have a din of chol. So the Gemara assumes that it means even if they open up into the Azara, they don't have Kedushas Azara. And still, right, Rabbi Yudah is saying they don't have Kedusha even though they open up into the Azara. So answer the Gemara, Kitanya hi shepsuchos lechol. No, when the Brisa says that the Mechilos under the heichol have a din of Harabayis and not the Kedusha of the Azara, it means if they open up into the Harabayis. But if they open up into the Azara, then in Echinami, they have the same Kedusha Azara. But bottom line is, you can't prove anything about the relative Kedusha of a rooftop versus a ground floor based on that Mishnah in Maseches Ma'aser Sheni, because that's talking about a unique case where the rooftop is on the ground level with the Azara, and the area underneath it is not. So that's not a raya to anything. So Tashma says, Raya number four. from that from a brisa. The Rabbi Yehuda says the mechilos underneath the heichal have a din of chol, but vegago kodesh, the rooftop of the heichal has a status of kodesh, and that's lechora directly against Rav. Rav says that the alvios, the gagos, are lo niskatshu. Here you have the gag of the heichal has a din of kedusha. So says Mar Vitizbra, you think that's supposed to be taken at face value, that the gag of the heichal has kedusha? What are you allowed to do in the heichal? You're allowed to shecht kachim kalim. You're allowed to eat kachim kachim. That's what you have to do in those places, right? Meaning you're not allowed to do those things in the Azar, you're not allowed to do those things outside. So the gagin of the Azara and the lishchos of the Azara, you're not allowed to eat kachim. Although kachim kachim get eaten only in the Azara, they're not allowed to be eaten in the gagos of the Azara. Although kachim kalim get shechted in the Azara, they're not allowed to be shechted in the gagos of the Azara. So don't tell me that you're going to take this at face value that the gag has the same kedusha as the ground floor. We know it says explicitly that you're not allowed to do all the normal things you would do on the ground floor. Vela kasha gago kodesh. So what do we do with Rabbi Yehuda's comment that the rooftop of the heichal is kodesh? If we see clearly that the rooftop of the azara doesn't have kedushas azara, so Rav Chama bar Guria osen shtei amos. When Rabbi Yehuda says that the gag of the heichal has kedusha, it means that it's enough kedusha to store the two measuring sticks that they would use for the binyan beis hamikdash. So they would use it as storage for the kelim. And so by the gag of the heichal, they would keep certain kelim that they would need to use. So that's all it means. But it doesn't mean that it has the full kedusha. What kind of shtei amos? Titnan. Shtei amos. There were two measuring sticks that were roughly an amal long. That hoya b'shusha nabira. So there's our daf yomi coincidence as we approach Purim. Somehow it seems like every year in Purim we talk about that room in the Beis Hamikdash called Shushan Habira. It has nothing to do with Shushan. I mean, it has a little bit to do with Shushan Habira, but it's not Shushan Habira. It's a room in the Beis Hamikdash that was built in the eastern gate of the Azara called Shushan Habira. The Rashi writes in Maseches Menachos that it was decorated in the image of Shushan Habira, and the Gemara says that that was a Gezeres HaMalchus, that they had to do that, that they had to make that room look like Shushan Habira. Why? So the Gemara says one possibility is so that they should remember to be grateful to the Malchus Paras that allowed them to go into Eretz Yisrael and to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the other opinion of the Gemara is that they should have Eimas HaMalchus, that they should be afraid and therefore they shouldn't want to rebel against the Malchus Paras. Rabbeinu Chananel says that they weren't forced to do it. Rashi says they were forced to do it, and those two opinions in the Gemara are what the Malchus was thinking in forcing them to do it. Rabbeinu Chananel over here says, no, they did it on their own. They chose to make it look like Shushan Habira. The Machlokas Amoraim is why they chose to do that. Did they want to do it as a reminder to themselves to have Emes HaMalchus, or as a reminder to themselves to have Hakar Satov? But anyway, they had these two measuring sticks that they would keep in this room called Shushan Habira. Achas al Karim Mizrachas Tzvonis, one in the northeastern corner, Vachas al Karim Mizrachas Dromis, and one in the southeastern corner. Zush al Karim Mizrachas Tzvonis, the one that was in the northeastern corner, Haisi Yisera al Shal Moshe Chatzi Etzba, was a little bit longer than the Amma that Moshe Rabbeinu would measure as 6 tefachim. It was a half an etzba larger than that. The Zush al Karim Mizrachas Dromis, and the one that was in the southeastern corner, Haisi Yisera Aleha Chatzi Etzba, was a half of an etzba longer than that. And Nimtzei Yisera Shal Moshe Etzba, which means it was a full etzba longer than a regular amma that Moshe Rabbeinu used. Why do they need two different measuring sticks that are really ostensibly an amma, but one is a half of an etzba? Half an etzba is very tiny. It's half of the width of your thumb. Half of an etzba longer, and the other one half an etzba longer than that. Why do they need a larger one and a smaller one? When they would contract out workers to do work in the Beis HaMikdash, they would assess the value of the materials based on the smaller amma, and then they would be maxed. Gedola, because that way they would create margin of error where the worker loses, meaning they didn't want anyone to be mol ba'hegdish, to be provided with extra hegdish materials. Kadesh lo yavo l'day mi'ila, so it shouldn't be a violation of mi'ila, because if they would do it based on the precise measures, so they might make a mistake by a little bit, and the worker will be nena from hegdish more than more than he was contracted to do. Vitarti lamali, but this, still, why do you need two separate amos that were both a little bit larger? Have one be a normal amma and one be a little bit larger. Why do you have the amma of Moshe Rabbeinu and then two that are both a little bit larger, just one is a little bit larger than the other one? Why do I need three different shiurim of an amma? So achas lekaspa b'dava v'achas l'binyana, because we left a much smaller margin for error when we're dealing in precious metals, when we're dealing with gold and silver. Because a difference of a full etzba when measuring gold and silver could be an enormous amount of money. So that we're not going to force the worker to take on him, upon himself. But when dealing with other business, with other building materials, so then we'll have an amma that's full etzba off. Now, our Mishnah said that the windows and the thickness of the wall is kilufnin, has the status of being inside. So, Bishlam Chalonos Mishkachas La Deshavi L'Karka Azara. I understand that you could have the Chalonos have Kedushas Azara, even if you hold that the Gagos and the Leos Alonis got you, the Chalonos can have Kedushas Azara if they're on even level with the Karka Azara. Ela Ovi Achome Hechem Mishkachso. But how do you have the thickness of the walls have Kedushas Azara if you hold that the Gagos are not Niskachu? It's above ground level. So it says, Mishkachso Bivar Shura. If you have two walls that are adjacent to each other and one of them is lower than the other one. So the lower one has the status of the ground level, may be on the ground level and has Kedushas Hazara. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says in Megillas Eicha, Vayavil Chel V'choma, Vam Rabbi Yachav, Yitim Rabbi Chanina, Shura. Ubarshur, that there was this tall wall and then there was a smaller wall next to it. So we're talking about that smaller wall. Okay, new mission now. Let's say you have two groups eating Karm Pesach in one bayis. So they're not supposed to be joined together, so what do? They each turn away from each other to make a clear indication that they're not joining together, that they're not eating together, they're each in their own group. Rashi understands that the Shtei Chaburos that we're talking about over here are two chaburos that are eating the same Karban Pesach, and we're talking about a case where you had one group that was all registered on Karban Pesach and then they decided to split up and eat that same Karban Pesach in two separate groups. So you're allowed to do that. They don't have to eat it all together. They could break up into two groups and just turn away from each other. So it's a heter, what you're allowed to do. But normally that's not what the word chabura means throughout this Masechta. Normally chabura means, if you say shtei chaburos, normally it means two Karbanos Pesach, because whoever's registered on Karban Pesach, normally we assume is a single Chabura. Other Rishonim, the Meiri, and possibly the Rambam, understand that in our Mishnah also means that it's telling me a Chumra, that if you have Shtei Chaburus, two people who are two groups that are involved with two separate Karbanos Pesach, and they just happen to be in the same home, so the Bnei Chaburus are chayiv to turn away from each other. It's not that it's a heter that they're allowed to eat it separately. They must eat it separately, so they have to turn their faces away from each other in order to indicate that these are two separate Karbanos Pesach. So v'hamecham, and the hot water that they're all sharing to use for diluting their wine, be'emtza, that's in the middle of the room, and even though it's, and it separates between the two chaburos, and kesha shamish, when the waiter is omid limzok, he goes to help serve people and to help dilute their wine for them. So kofitz es pivu makzir es panav. He should close his mouth and turn his face away to indicate that that whatever they're eating is not for him, because he's not allowed to jump from where he was eating to eat somewhere else. You're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach in two separate places. Ad shemagia etzel chavura, so until he gets to his own chabura, and his own chabura, he can keep his mouth open and face them. Va'ochel, then he's allowed to eat with them. Va'kala, and the etiquette it is that a kala, you know, a woman who just got married, she also turns her face away and eats the Karban Pesach because she has a certain sense of busha to be eating in front of total strangers. I mean, a total stranger, her new family, her in-laws, it's somewhat uncomfortable for her. I find when I talk to Talmidim, they find that the most challenging thing for their wives is the first Seder at their parents' house. Seder is like, you know, every family has their own shtick and their own way of doing it. That's like the most overwhelming thing. So the Kala Dafkat the Seder, she's going to be Hofechas Paneh. It's no picnic for the guys either, but it's Dafka harder for the Kalas, I think. So the Kala is Hofechas Paneh. So Rashi explains that they allowed her to be Hofech Paneh, since the Pesach is Nechal B'shtei Chaburos, meaning the Bnei Chabura are considered one Chabura, and the Kala, by turning away, becomes a second Chabura. So this Rashi explains the Shita. tussle, the first part of the Mishnah, that even though everyone's sharing one Karban Pesach, you're allowed to take a group that's a one Karban Pesach and split them into two different groups. So the Kala is like becoming her own group. That's how Rashi understands. Tosfos understands that the Kala already ate part of the Suda together with the Chabura without turning the face away. So we allow her in the Hemshech of the Suda to turn her face away. That the Chiddush is that even though she turned her face away, she's still Shayach to the Chabura. Exactly the opposite of what Rashi is saying. She's not making her own Chabura. She's still connected to the Chabura because when she started eating, she was eating together with the Chabura, and that's good enough. In Chiddush Rabbeinu David, he says that this is a heter dafka for a kala, because it's the derech of a kala, mishum tznius, not to want to eat being seen by everybody else. But by shtei Chaburus that began to eat a Karban Pesach, they're not allowed to mix with each other, and therefore each one is chayv to be hovich panav together toward their Chabura, in order that it doesn't look like they're eating with the other Chabura. So they need to be facing each other in general. When you have two Chaburas eating in one room, then all other B'nai Chabura need to be facing each other, the members of their Chabura. Okay, so now it says Gmar Masnis and Mani, our Mishnah that allows eating Karban Pesach in Shtei Chaburos, who's the author of our Mishnah? So Rabbi Yehuda, so we said that the author must be Rabbi Yehuda. Titania, because we're going to see in the Braisa that there's going to be a Machlokas Tanaim about how to understand these Dinim of Chaburas. The Braisa says that by Karban Pesach, by Pesach Mitzrayim, it says Al Abatim Asher Yochlo Sobehem. What's the full pasuk? V'lokchu min adam v'nasan al shtei mezuz v'al mashkov. It's talking about putting the dam on the doorposts. So they would put the dam on the doorposts and on the mashkov. Al Abatim Asher Yochlo Oso Behem. So Yochlu is said b'lashon Rabim, and the Oso is lashon Yachid, and then Batim is lashon Rabim. So what's going on over here? Is it lashon Yachid or lashon Rabim? Melami Shapesach Nechol B'Shtei Chaburos. This tells us that one Karban Pesach, it's Oso, it's only one Karban Pesach, it's allowed to be eaten in two different Chaburos and in two different homes. So since the Pasuk is telling us that different people could divide up to eat in two different groups, in two different houses, so I understand that a Yachid is not allowed to eat in two different homes. So Yachid, Yeya Ochel, Ochel B'Shtei Mekomos, I might think that a Yachid could eat part of his meat in one house and part of somewhere else, or part in another room in the same house. So Tamalomar bebayis echad yeochel, that just like the batim means shtei chaburos and shtei mekomos, bayis echad means in one chabura, in one makom, that even a yachid within a house is not allowed to jump from one chabura to the other. He has to eat in the same place. So mikan amrus, based on this they say that a shamash shachal kazayis pitzad atanur, if you have the waiter eat a kazayis of his basar next to the oven, ipikeach umim malei kresum menu, if he's smart and he wants to avoid violating any averos, he should fill the stomach from it. And if the Bnei Chabura want to do a favor to him, want to do something nice to him, so they should sit next to him. Meaning, why, if he's smart, should he fill the stomach? Because he shouldn't be hungry when he's going around to their Chaburas, because he might come to eat from their Chaburas, and he's not allowed to eat in Shtei Mekomos. So Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. So to summarize, Rabbi Yehuda is really being Mechadesh two things. Number one, that a Pesach could be eaten b'Shtei Chaburos, and therefore the Shamash is allowed to eat the Karban Pesach in one spot of the house, even though the other Bnei Chabura are eating in a different spot, because you're allowed to split a Karban Pesach among a single Karban Pesach to Shtei Chaburos. The second Chiddush Rabbi Yehuda is telling me is that one person is not allowed to eat his Karban Pesach in two different spots, and therefore if the Shamash is a Pikeach, he should fill up his stomach in one spot so that he doesn't come to eat in the other spot. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Al Abatim Asher Yochlo So Behem. So Abatim is Lashon Rabim. Sounds like many houses. Yochlu is Lashon Rabim. Sounds like a Chabura of people that are eating the Karban Pesach. Melamit Cha'ochel Ochel B'Shtei Mekomos. That tells us that each one of the Bnei Chabura that eats this Karban Pesach is allowed to eat in two different places. So Yochel Yeinachel B'Shtei Chaburos. I might think he could join in two different Chaburos. Tamlomer B'Bayis Echad Yeyochel. That's why it says Yeyochel in the Lashon Nifal, and it should be B'Bayis Echad, that the Torah is being makbid that he should begin his eating of the Karban Pesach in one place with one Chabura, but after they begin eating, one of the Bnei Chabura can then go and continue eating from his Karban Pesach somewhere else, but it has to start in one place. So it turns out that there's a double machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Number one, if the Bnei Chabura have the basar of the Karban Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're allowed to divide up and eat in two different chaburos and two different batim. Meaning you're allowed to take one Karban Pesach, split it among two places, and half the chabur will go there, half the chabur will go there, they'll become two separate chaburos. Rabbi Shimon would say, no, anyone who's registered on one Karban Pesach must eat together. They're not allowed to divide up into two different groups. Second machlokas, if Bnei Chabura have a portion of the Karban Pesach, and the rest of the basar remains somewhere else, let's say it's in the oven, it's being roasted, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they have to bring the rest of the basar so that they can eat it in that place where they started to eat. They're not allowed to jump places in the middle. You're not allowed to eat a Karban Pesach in two different places. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, sure, they're allowed to eat in two different places. You have to have started all together as one group, but you're allowed to eat part of the Karban Pesach here and part of the Karban Pesach somewhere else. So b'maikam efgi, what is the nekudas, what is the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So Rabbi Yehuda sav yeshem l'masores, for Rabbi Shimon sav yeshem l'mikra. It's really about yeshem l'masores, yeshem l'mikra. When you have a kriya and a ksiv, what's the primary drasha? Should the primary drasha be made from the kriya or from the ksiv? So the word yud aleph chaf lamed is written with one yud, and we read it as if it has a cholam yochal. So the mashmalos of the pasuk is bebayis echad yochal, that the person who eats his Karban Pesach should eat it in one spot, not in two different spots. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, we go based on the mikra, and the way it's pronounced is yeochel. So it tells me that the Pesach has to be neechal bebayis echad, meaning b'makom achas b'chabura achas. But you're allowed to then switch in the middle as long as the chabura started together. So yoshvin v'nif samachita, let's say you had a bnei chabura that were sitting there, and then v'nifras hamechitza b'neihem. Then a mechitza was put up in between the two of them, in between two halves of the group. So the divrei Omer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, holds the Pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos, that you can divide up a chabura of ochle karm Pesach, ochle, and then it's perfectly fine. So now there are two groups, it's perfectly fine. But the divrei Omer, in Pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not allowed to divide up the group, ain't ochle, then they cannot eat that way with a mechitza between them. Hayu yoshvin, if the two chaburos on two separate Karbanos Pesach are eating in two different houses, and each chabura is eating their Karban Pesach, v'nistalka mechitza b'neihem, but then the mechitza comes down, and now they find themselves two different chaburas and two different Karbanos Pesach in the same room. So l'divrei ha'omer, ha'ochel ochel b'shtei mekamos, according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a ben chabura who eats his portion of the Karban Pesach is allowed to eat in more than one place, ochlin, they can continue to eat, because it's as if they move to a new place, having the breaking of the wall. So now I'm not only in this room, I'm also in that room. But that's okay, as long as I started eating with my Bnei Chabura, I'm allowed to be in two different places to eat my Karban Pesach. But the Divrei Omer, ain't ochel ochel b'shem mekamos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to stay in one place the entire time, then ain't ochlin, even though you didn't budge, but by the wall coming down, it makes it like it's a new place, and therefore you're not allowed to eat until they put the wall back up, because you're not allowed to eat in two different places. Yasser Rav Kanu Kapashalei Mifshat, he was saying over these halachos, and Amalei Rav Ashi, the Rav Kanu, v'tibayi lachibayi, the siluk mechitza v'asiyas mechitza, miyavi kishnei mekamos. Why are you saying it like it's so obvious that if a mechitza comes down, now you're in a new room, now it's like shnei mekamos? You should have asked it as a shayla. When a wall comes down, is that considered to be a new room? Kishnei chaburus dami alo. So, or is it kishnei chaburus dami or not? So teku, so the Gemara says, that remains a suffix. So what we consider to be two different places remains a suffix according to Rav Ashi. So hakala ofeches paneh. Then we said that the kala turns her face away. So my timer, why would the kala turn her face away when she eats? Amar b'chia baraba, amar b'yochan, nay, she bosha, because she's embarrassed to eat in front of her new family, in front of her in-laws. So when she sits there, she's a little more shy, and she turns her face away. Rav Huna b'rei Rav Nassan, ikla lebe Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he once went to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, so Amru, the family of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amru le, they said to Rav Huna, ma shemecha, what's your name? Amru lehu, he said, Rav Huna, my name is Rabbi Huna. So Amru Nesiv Marapurya. So they said, oh, okay, you're a rabbi. They give him a kavadik spot on a bed. Purya over here does not mean Purim, so it's not a daf yom kippur. It's on a bed, and where anashim chashuvim should be. And Yasiv, and he sat there. Yavu leKasa. Then they gave him a kos of wine. Kibli b'chadzimna. He didn't have to be offered a second time. He took it right away. Whatever they offered him, he took it right away. V'shasya betrays him. But he drank the kos in two gulps. He didn't just down the whole thing, and he didn't slowly cradle the drink and take it very slowly. He had two gulps. He took the drink. So v'lo hadar ape, and he didn't, when he drank, he didn't turn away. So everything he did, there was a limud from every single behavior that he did. So Amalei, so they asked Rav Huna, my time of Karisalach Rav Huna. You know, it seems a little bit inappropriate that you call yourself Rabbi Huna. Why do you have to call yourself by your title? Someone asks you your name, so you say your name. You don't call yourself by your title, right? People, the old European Gedolim, people said, you say that when they would get phone calls, big Askanim, when they would get phone calls from the Gedolim, it's Cutler here, they would just identify themselves by their last name. No one else would ever call them that, but that's how they would identify themselves. So that's why someone commented, I read in one of the articles about Rabbi Twersky Zichrono Livracha, that in every story he ever told about himself and someone else talking to him, it was always, and then the person said to me, Twersky, why are you doing that? And the person who was writing the article said, I never in my life heard anyone call him Twersky. In his stories, that's the way he heard it, but no one ever referred to him in that way. So anyway, so my time of Karisalach Rav Huna, why do you call yourself Rav Huna? So I'm a little Bala Shemani. He says, it just became like part of my name, meaning that's it's actually my proper name is Rav Huna. It's not arrogance. The Achronim discuss, when is it appropriate and when is it not appropriate to use a title. Sometimes the title is just, it's my job, what do you do? I'm the rabbi. Okay, so you're the rabbi. But it's not a derech kavod, it's just a description. And sometimes it's considered to be a derech kavod, and that's inappropriate to use it. So my time, why is it when they told you to sit in the kavodik spot, you right away sat in the kavodik spot? So you're supposed to do whatever a balabais tells you. So then in parentheses, we have chutz mitzei, except when the balabais tells you to leave. So the Miri says, that can't be right, that the balabais tells you to leave, you get out. What do you mean, chutz mitzei? So it can't be that we have such a girsa. However, in Meseches Derech Eretz, the Lashon is Anichnas Labayis Kol Mashi Yigzol of Balabayis Yaaseh, and many Girsos is Keshu Dvar Kashrus. So the Sefer Binyan Yoshua suggests that Chutz Mitzei means when it's Keshu Dvar Kashrus. What does it mean? Chutz Mitzei is a Rashi Tevus. Chutz Mitzei is Rashi Tevus of Tzad Iser, that you should do whatever the Balabayis tells you, except for anything that has Tzad Yalef, that has a Tzad Iser. If there's a Tzad Iser, then you don't listen. The Marsha says a little differently. He says it doesn't mean kipshuta, that when the balabais tells you to leave the house, that you should stay anyway. No, of course, obviously, if he throws you out, then you leave. The Marsha says that some say b'loshon b'derech tzachus, that koyom sheyom l'cha balabais asay, all the tzivuyim are considered that the ma'areach is the balabais of the oreach, except for the tzay, that then he's not considered to be the balabais at all, since he told him to leave. Svasema says that originally Chazal tells Kol Yom Shalom Lecha Balabais Asay, and then after what happened with Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, that the Balabais threw Bar Kamsa out of the Suda because of whatever happened over there and it caused the Chorban Abayis, so then the Chacham said that at Shas HaTzorech, it's mutter for the Oreach to be Misarev and not to leave, even though the Balabais says Tzay, meaning the Chutz Mitzay was added on, says Svasema, after the episode of Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, with what happened. So they set rules that no one should ever be allowed to embarrass somebody else and humiliate him and throw him out of a su'uda. So that became the rule. That became what Chazal instituted. That's where the chutz mitzei comes from. Okay, so then they asked him, Baiter, my time ki avdalach kasa ki balta b'chad zimno, why when they offered you a kos, did you just take it right away? Isn't it derech kavo to say no thank you, and then when they offer again, you can take it? Samalu mesarven l'katan, name mesarven l'gadol. It is derech eretz when it's a katan, but when it's a gadol that offers you something, something, so you don't, whatever he says, whatever he offers you, you graciously take it. So the Bala Bais is considered to be a gadol, is considered to be an important person, so then the proper derech eretz is not to do that dance of, I don't want it, I do, so just take whatever he offers you. My time, Ashtisei betrays him. Why is it when you drink the kos, you drink it in two gulps? Amalu, detanya, shosa kos bebas achas. If a person drinks a kos all at one time, hareza gargaran, that's considered to be like a gluttonous person, that he's just downing the whole thing. Shnayim derech eretz. If you drink it in two sips, then it's considered derech eretz. Shlosh amigasei aruach. If you're slowly cradling the cup and drinking a little bit at a time, that's considered to be an act of arrogance. My time alo adarta apocha. Why didn't you turn your face away when you drank? Samalu kala feches panah tonight. Because the Mishnah says that a kala turns her face away. I'm not a kala. So apparently that's only something that a kala is supposed to do that other people are not supposed to do. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi ikla lebir Rabbi Shim Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi went to the house of Rabbi Shim Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya. Yovele kasa. They brought him a kos of wine. So kiblei b'chadzimna. He didn't say no. He took it right away. V'shasi b'chadzimna. And he downed the whole thing all at once. Samile lo savel amar. Shos a kos of basachas areiz a gargaron. Don't you hold that that's not appropriate to drink like that? Amalu lo amri b'kosach katan v'yenach matok u'kreis u'ruchava. That they didn't say it when it's such a tiny kos and when it's such sweet wine and when you're so hungry. So if you have a big appetite and it's a tiny kos and it's sweet wine, then there's no problem with drinking it all at once. There's another daf yom kippur about drinking wine right before Purim. Amravuna b'nei chabura nichnasim b'shloshev, that the people who are koveya to eat together, to eat the suda together, and they hire a waiter to serve them. So if three people come into the suuda, so the waiter has to serve them. But if one person or two come in and they want to start the suuda, so the shamash doesn't have to get it going yet unless the crowd is there. The yotz nafilu be'achad. At the end of the suuda, the b'nei chabura don't have to all finish at the same time. They can go out separately and the shamash has to adjust how he cleans up and how he finishes up the suuda based on when each one finishes. So Rabbi Vuda ayil be'idna d'regili l'meil. This psak that he has to serve them, even the guy who stays last, is only if he's still within the normal zman of that's normal for to have a su'uda. But if he's just driving the waiter crazy and staying around for hours and hours afterwards, so then that's not appropriate. V'uda ragash bu dayala. And it's also mutter to go out even one at a time, only b'tanai that the b'nei chabura let the shamash know when they start that they're not going to all finish at the same time. He has to know what to expect, and people can manage once they know what to expect. But to surprise him, to get his hopes up that one person is going to leave and he thinks his night is almost over and he can go home soon, and then to see that it's going to go for hours, that's not nice to do to the waiter. Amar Ravina v'nosin schar damim, and also that those who go out have to pay the waiter in full. V'tzarech ha'achron lahosif, and the last guy lahosif damim, and the last guy who stayed longer, he should be considerate. He's the one that kept the waiter there for longer, so the tip should be a bigger tip when he leaves. V'les ilchsakav. But we don't paskin like Ravina. The shamash has to serve the yachid, even though everyone else finishes the suuda, and that yachid does not have to add on extra money according to the halacha. So hadron alach ketzatzol, and that ends the seventh parak of Be'ez Hashem. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the eighth parak on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Have a great day, everyone.